We are blessed to be here and appreciate very much the presence of each and every one, especially those who are visiting with us. We do, as Benny mentioned earlier, we have several visitors this morning. Thank you for being here. Some of you are in town for the fair. Appreciate you coming and being with us this morning, encouraging us, and we pray and hope that our service this morning and the things that we discuss, the things that we do in our worship to God will also be encouraging to you. I want to invite you this morning to consider actually a continuation of the subject that we introduced last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning we talked about godly husbands and fathers, how to be a godly husband and father. This morning, how to be a godly wife and mother. Thought it natural to talk about this since I got on to men last week. Might as well get on to women this Sunday morning. Also, it was requested. One of the ladies here requested that I talk about how to be a godly wife and mother. And so I'm sure that she is excited about the lesson this morning, so she can be encouraged. And that's, of course, the purpose of this, to try to find out what God's will is, to come to a better understanding of what God's will is, because we do live in troubling times. We mentioned last Sunday morning that the family is certainly under attack in our day and time. Everywhere you turn, everything you think about as far as our country is concerned, whether it be education, whether it be entertainment, whether it be the government itself, and the laws that are being passed are harmful to our families. The family has fallen on hard times. And we as Christians need to know how to respond to that and how to be the husbands and wives that God wants us to be, the children that God wants us to be. We pointed out last week that families are made up of imperfect people. All of us make mistakes from time to time. All of us will, you know, do things that will frustrate and perhaps even anger our mate and another family member. We all make mistakes. And part actually of being a family is the closeness and the commitment to one another to persevere through those disagreements and those frustrations and that anger, and to help one another. We all have our problems, and those problems do need to be overcome, but it's through God's word that we find both the instruction as to how and the strength to overcome those problems. When God comes first in the heart of every member of the family, that family will be what God wants it to be. That family will be successful and as God wants it to be in this world. This family also will stay together. I mentioned last Sunday morning, and I want to repeat this, that when you have a husband and a wife who equally love the Lord above all else, even more than each other, they love the Lord, they put the Lord first in their life, you're going to have a blessed and happy marriage, generally speaking, for the most part. It's going to be happy. There'll be bumps in the road, yes, but there will also be perseverance, and there will be true joy and success. And there will not be a divorce in a home where you have two people who love the Lord more than they love each other. We put God first, everything else will work out. We will indeed love one another till in death we do part. That's God's design. That's God's intention. That is God's will. So, if we want to be families that God designed us to be, we need to return to God's purpose and guidance in the home. Last week, we talked about the fact there are distinctions between husbands and wives. Last week, we talked about some of those distinctions that they related to men. But mostly, we talked about principles. We talked about character. Foundational principles. And godly character. We're going to do the same this morning. There's a distinction in roles, but we pointed out distinction in roles do not imply a distinction in value or a distinction in purpose and importance. We need to realize that God has established the roles that He has for our betterment, both for men and women. When men submit to God's role for them in their own lives, then they will fulfill their purpose and be happy or find joy and success and fulfillment. When women fulfill their role as God has prescribed it, designed it to be, then and only then will women find full fulfillment and joy in their life. A distinction in role does not mean a distinction in value. Every human being, male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, we are all equally valuable in the sight of God. Jesus died for one just as much and just as lovingly as he died for the other. Women are just as valuable to God in fulfilling his purposes in the home, in the church, in our nation, as humanity. Women have a role, a purpose that is God designed and that is praised in this Bible. You know, we often hear somebody say something like, well, you know, back there in the Bible days, women were, the Bible does not glorify and exalt women. The Bible represses and oppresses women. Have you ever heard somebody say that? It's not true, but I've heard people say that a lot. You want to go back and put shackles on women and you want to confine them to being barefoot and pregnant and, you know, just repressive is what they think of when it comes to the Bible and how it deals with women. And just the opposite is actually true. And we're going to see that this morning. But women, when they fulfill their purpose, everything works as it ought to work. You know, husbands and fathers, they have responsibilities in the home. They're to love, they're to provide, they're to lead, they're to train. They have great responsibility. Women also have great responsibility to submit, to guide, to keep the house, to fulfill their responsibilities in the home is of great service to our world. Great service to God, most importantly. But I want to go back. Okay, 1 Timothy 6. I want to start at the same place I did last week as well. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and being content with God's way is great gain. It is beneficial for me as an individual to surrender, to submit to God's will in all things, to seek God's will and God's approval in all things. That's beneficial to me, to follow God's way and to develop an attitude that is akin and like God's attitude. To think about things from God's perspective and to do things as God would have me to do them, that is going to be great gain for me. And to be content with God's way. Great benefit. We pointed out last week that for a man to have this attitude, he will find true success from God's perspective. Same thing is true with women. If women are godly and they are content with that godliness, then there will be great gain in the end. And we also pointed out in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, specifically talking in that context to the apostle, as Paul is talking to Timothy, he is instructing him how to live a godly life and not to love wealth and avarice, to not be given over to greed and beware of false teachers. But he says in verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and gentleness. These are the things that bring success in one's life. There is great gain attached to pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Paul told Timothy to flee certain things, of course, the greed that's in the context, but also there are other places where men are instructed to flee things. And I want to point out quickly that women are to flee sexual sin as well, to not allow anger to develop into bitterness, to not let their sun go down on, not let the sun go down on their wrath, and to seek forgiveness and seek to forgive. And not to be selfish, but to be selfless, to love, and not to be deceitful, but to be honest. So all these things apply that we talked about last week to women this morning as well. We're to pursue these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And for those, perhaps you weren't here last Sunday morning, by the way. Well, young men, I want you to go back and listen to the lesson from last week. And women, if you want to go back and apply and go back and listen to these same principles, they apply to you as well. We need to learn how to seek after the things of God in our life. So I want to reference you back to last week on that. But I want to move on now and start focusing in more on women. You know, from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 1, God made male and female. And he made a woman that is comparable to Adam. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he says, I will make a helper fit for her. The ESV says, I will make a suitable partner for him. New American Standard Bible says, suitable corresponding to. And in reality, what we see in the first book of the Bible is that God created man and saw that it was not good that he be alone. He was not yet complete, and so he made woman to complete him. And it is the man and the woman actually together that makes the full union and the full united plurality that God expects and designed to procreate and to bless this world. Woman completes man. She is equal in his nature. She is his helper in her function. She has a very important function. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes regarding women, he says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, with self-control. Now, there are some things in this text that I want to spend just a moment on. First of all, as far as what a godly woman is to be doing, it's interesting, Paul first points out that her appearance is to be modest. She is to be clothed with modest apparel, with good works. The idea is that she is to dress appropriately. Modesty has the connotation in our day and time of, you know, well, if it's modest, then it's not sexually illicit. It's not tempting. And that would fit under the term itself. It would be a part of the concept. The idea of dressing modest is to dress in a way that does not draw attention to yourself, to where someone says, hey, look at that. Whether it be because you're gaudy appearing, you overdress, you want people to look at you, so you wear clothes that stand out. In any way, that would be dressing immodestly. Our appearance should be in decency and propriety. In other words, they're to be simple, moderate, judicious, free from ostentation. They don't scream out, hey, look at me. And when Paul says not with braided hair or gold, it's not saying that these things are wrong in and of themselves. He's saying that they may indicate a misplace of values in our life. That we're more concerned with, you know, saying, hey, look at me, and fitting in and calling attention to ourselves, than we are of just being godly, wanting to please God. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3, we'll talk about that passage here in just a moment, but Paul uses that not but construction, and Peter uses the not but construction in 1 Peter 3:3. No, it's this, not this. Or it's not this, but this. Christians must be careful in letting our culture establish our fashions, how we appear. Okay, so first thing Paul says in this text in 1 Peter chapter is that we are to not say, hey, look at me. Another thing that Paul points out in 1 Timothy 2 is that women are to continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. And when he says she will be saved in childbearing, doesn't mean that she must have a child to be saved. The point is that she needs to submit to God's conditions and God's roles. She needs to be submissive. She needs to accept God's appointed sphere for her. Dumlow, in his commentary, said, "The woman shall be saved by keeping simply and faithfully to her allotted sphere as wife and mother." So what does a godly woman do? Well, she's modest. She's not ostentatious. She is subservient to God's will in her life. She seeks to please the Lord. She accepts her role. Paul says if she continues in faith, that is faith in him, faith in Christ, trust in his way, love, she wills that all things be good for those around her. She loves God first and foremost, and she puts others above herself. She's sacrificial. Holiness, that is, she keeps herself undefiled from the things of the world. She lives in such a way that pleases God and it allows herself to be used in God's service. And she's not seeking her own service. With self-control, she reigns over all of her passions and desires. Now, as you look at these things that Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:15, just like we talked about last week, we emphasize the need for faith and love and holiness and self-control. I'm going to say this at the risk of getting myself in trouble, and I know that when we talk about generality, sometimes we do just that, get ourselves in trouble. But generally speaking, I know it's not true in every case, but generally speaking, there is a major, big, humongous difference between men and women. And that biggest difference is in how they express and how they feel things. Emotions, their feelings are different. Women are generally more emotional. That's not true in every case, I know. But generally speaking, they are more emotional and allow their emotions to govern or rule their thinking more than men do, typically, generally, not all the time. Again, I have to clarify that so much, but that is a reality. So self-control is extremely important. In other words, to control, to rein in your passions or your feelings, your emotions and your desires, and think objectively. And women can. They need to do that. And we all need to do that. We all need to be sober-minded, right? We all need to gird up the loins of our minds and be sober-minded and rest our hope fully upon the Lord. So, very important. Of course, this idea of faith-based emotion, it's not wrong to feel things. It just needs to be based upon the right thing, right? Our emotions need to be based upon the truth, what is real, according to God's word. And what we see so often today is things flipped around. It is our emotions that determine what is true or what is right. And that's wrong. We can't do that. We see that in religion. We decide whether something is true or good or right depending upon how I feel about it. I just feel this is right. It feels so good, it can't be wrong, etc., etc. Get ourselves in trouble. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ends of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says we need to control our emotions by what is true as established by God's word. In Titus the second chapter, in verses 3 through 5, Paul says this: the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Older women have a responsibility to teach the younger women reverent in behavior. All of our behavior needs to be governed by God and accomplished with the understanding that God is the one that we're striving to please. He's the one that's in control. And not slanderers, that is, we're not gossipers and talebearers. Not given to much wine. It means that we need to be sober. And just because he says not given to much does not mean that a little is okay, by the way. But she needs to stay away from things that would deter her from fulfilling her duties and responsibilities. And teachers of good things. She needs to be a teacher. She needs to help others. To love their children, love their husbands, love their children. That is, put their husbands first in their life. And really put that priority. And the husband, as we pointed out last week, is to do the same thing. They are to put their wives first. They are to be sacrificial. Wives are also to be sacrificial. They're to have affection for their husbands and for their children, and to put their children first. And to be discreet. That is, not being ostentatious. To be chaste, holy, self-control. Homemakers, there's fear, is to oversee the home. To be good, obedient to their own husbands. And all of these things are to be done so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know what? We have people today who say, well, this is just, It's just terrible that you would think about treating a woman this way. It's not about treating a woman a particular way. It's about God, who made a woman to fit in a perfect place in his plan. And this is the place where she will find true fulfillment and blessedness and happiness. And it's not a putting down. It's actually an exaltation. Because I want to move on. You know, as a godly mother, she's to love her children, she's to provide for and cherish for her children, she's to teach her children the scriptures, to teach daughters and younger women how to be godly. All of these things we just saw in the text. This is a position of honor. And she is to be honored by her husband. She is to be honored by all around her. Mothers who accept God's position, God's fear. Mothers who are faithful to God are to be greatly praised, right? Greatly honored. Talked about what women does. I want to quickly talk about the woman's disposition, because really what they do comes from a deeper seated principle. That is their character, their disposition, their attitude towards things, to be governed by God's will. And if they are indeed governed by God's will, then they will be able to do the things that God would have them to do in a way that's acceptable to him and beneficial to those around her. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So how you live is going to influence those around you. Now, verse 3, Peter says this: do not let your adornment be merely outwardly, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Okay, that goes back to what we were talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, you're to dress modestly and not ostentatiously. But verse 4, he says, instead of focusing on outward beauty, this is what you need to do. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. A gentle and quiet spirit. Again, not a prohibition of wearing jewelry or dressing nicely. That's not the point that Peter's making. He's saying that there is something more important than outward appearance, and that is inward true beauty. Qualities that really matter to him is our character. Subjection is a role that is to be fulfilled. What is our attitude towards our place, our position in the home? Do we look down upon that? Do we criticize that? Do we think that that's just not fair? How do we see God's dealing with us? Subjection is a role. Doesn't imply inferiority. Doesn't mean that we're less valuable in the sight of God. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, of course, the wife, submit. But submission cannot be forced. And husbands who try, and this is, the point is, exterior forces is not to bring this about. Listen, this is something that must come from the heart or the attitude of the woman. She must be submissive. Now let's just take this up a step. You know what? Man is to be submissive. Just as submissive as the wife is to the Lord. To yield, to submit, to surrender, to accept your place in this world. All of us need to realize the need for humility in recognizing we're not God. God is over all of us. We need to humbly submit to His will. Submission cannot be forced. It is an attitude that must come from within, the willingness to yield to God's way. Culture cannot change God's design roles. Culture does not change that. Now, where he says chaste conduct, holiness, purity, disciplined, purity that results from the observance of God's law. Modest apparel is that which comes out of this chaste conduct that Peter talks about. To be respectful. Respectful first and foremost to God by yielding to His will, respecting those who are above them, whoever that may be. All of us have that responsibility. Younger women should respect older women, godly women. Listen to them. Learn from them. But most importantly, learn what God wants you to do so that you can be pleasing to Him. The word gentle has the idea of, well, it's translated some versions, meekness, gentleness. Gentle doesn't really convey the entire meaning of the term or the concept. The idea is that one actually submits to the yoke. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my what? Yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The yoke of the Lord doesn't rub us the wrong way. The yoke of the Lord is actually getting in line where we need to be. And surrendering, when we surrender to God's way, what we wind up doing is bringing ourselves enjoyment, peace, and eventually eternal life and rest. It is the acceptance of God's dealings with us as good. When we understand God's purpose, the opposite of self-assertiveness. I submit, surrender, self-control. I bring myself under God's control. Manifested in how we respond to others. A quiet spirit, that is one that seeks peace. It is a disposition that tries to bring about unity and a working together for God's purposes. Not self-assertive, not a busybody. As opposed to usurping authority, it's again submitting, surrendering to God's will and serving Him. The woman's disposition is to have these qualities, these characteristics. And before we end this morning, I want to kind of go to a passage that all of us are familiar with in the book of Proverbs in the 31st chapter. I want to just quickly go through some things because here we have a picture, if you will, a word picture of a woman that God praises. Not men, not the government, God praises. This is God's picture of a virtuous woman, of a godly woman. So turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31. And look there at verse 10 beginning, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." Her value, she's being exalted as her value is concerned. How valuable is a godly woman to God, to those that are around her, to her children? How valuable is she? Looking in verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." She's devoted. She's devoted to her husband because she's devoted to God. She does him good. She's supportive. She's encouraging. She's devoted. Look at verses 13 through 19. "She seeks wood and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and that her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle." She's an industrious woman. She works hard. She's busy. She's busy providing for her family. She is busy in how she deals. And notice, she also does things outside the home. She is busy, thus she is helpful to the home. She provides good for the home. She's a charitable woman. Look at verse 20. "She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy." She's charitable. Verses 21 and 22. Notice how prepared she is for the things that come her way. "She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." So she provides the clothing and things for her family. But she's not afraid of winter because she has been prepared. She's busy. Notice also in verse 23, it says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." She's supportive again of her husband. Going back to verse 12. "She does good. And people know it. She has a good reputation, and that benefits her husband. Her husband has benefited from her, and she benefits from her husband. And also, she's a businesswoman. Look at verse 24. "She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchandise." She is a woman of character. As now the Lord describes her character, listen, it says in verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing." Is she weak? No, she's not weak. She's strong. Honor. She's truthful, respected. That's her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Notice in verse 30, and just read down verses 28 through 30, or verse 26 beginning. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. She is a woman of character and wisdom, and you know she's helpful and beneficial to all those who are around her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she should be praised. She shall be praised. In verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She will be a blessed woman, blessed by God. But God exalts women in the scripture, holds her up in great esteem. She is to be respected, she is to be honored because of all that she does in God's service. A godly woman is essential to the well-being of those who are around her. Listen, there is no greater attainment in this life than to be a person, whether male or female, that is attained to virtuous character according to God's will. That goes for women. You can't rise any higher than that. To be a Christian wife or mother, to be a godly wife or mother, is to be at the highest position on the ladder. More valuable to God, I'm going to say this, more valuable to God than the President of the United States of America. More important to God. Listen, no beauty of outward form or glamour can match the beauty of godliness. Holiness. That's the beauty that God recognizes and he sees. That's the beauty that we really ought to train our eyes. Men, that's the way that we ought to, you know, seek to praise women. That's how we should judge them, by character, by their godliness and their holiness. And exalt them and praise them. All outward beauty fades, right? But the inward character grows better and better, stronger and stronger, and will endure forever. Mothers, wives, husbands, fathers, all of us are to abide within God's appointed roles. We're to fit where God has placed us, and as he's made us. Okay? Let's not try to fit a square peg into a round hole. You know, today we have, our culture has absolutely lost its mind. If I think I'm a woman, that doesn't change a reality, does it? I need to accept God's place for me. Abide within the role that God's put me in. And think about the impact of godly women just for a second. And the lesson is yours. Think about this. Where would we be without Sarah? Sarah is the mother of Isaac, the promised child, the child through whom God would bless all nations with salvation in Jesus Christ. Sarah was the beginning of that promise seed. Of course, well, I guess you go back to Eve. God originally promised that through her seed, God would destroy Satan's at work. But Sarah's the mother of promise. Or think of other great women in the Bible. Deborah, as a leader and a judge. Esther, saved an entire race of people, the people of Israel, through her efforts. Hannah, mother of Samuel, who prayed for a child and helped to raise him and prepare him for his service in the Lord's work. Ruth, a Moabitish woman who clung to Naomi, an Israelite, and went back home with her into Israel. And actually is found in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Mary! What about Mary? Mary Magdalene, Martha, Tabitha in the New Testament, Dorcas, Lois and Eunice, who taught Timothy the scriptures so that he knew the way of salvation, Lydia, Phoebe, on and on you could go in the scriptures of women who were very important to God's purpose and in God's service. Women are valuable. Do we understand that? Women are needed. They're necessary, important. They're important in the church. They have their role, must abide within that role. It's in that role, though, that they will be the greatest fulfillment in their purpose. Not outside that role. They can't fulfill God's purpose outside that role. Think about the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. That was a woman who was extremely busy, industrious, helpful, worked outside the home, but she focused on her own home. She did everything that she did for her home. That was her focus, to raise up godly children. So maybe and hopefully our study has been helpful and beneficial. And if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. That's really the first place that anyone, male or female, needs to begin obeying the gospel by faith. If you've never been baptized into Christ, why not begin that journey now and find your purpose, your true purpose in life, to serve God? That's where you'll find true fulfillment and true joy. If you are a Christian, you're not living in the way that God would have you to live. You're trying to buck the system, and you're trying to be something that you're really not. You're not designed to be. You're going to find hardship in that. Submit to the yoke of God and find true joy and peace in your life. And if you have sin in your life, please repent of that. If you need prayers at the church, we'd be more than glad to help you in that regard. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand to sing?